hate life.
Why? Why do you hate life?
I just did a bit in the barber shop. I did a whole set.
You did, though.
No, I did 15 minutes.
You did a hard 15, too.
Oh, gosh.
Good crowd, though.
Oh, my gosh. Great crowd. I hate myself so much right now. There's so much shame and guilt going on right
there. For everyone listening who doesn't know what we're talking about, Jason got a haircut, which is a fine haircut. Looks nice, by the way. The means to the end weren't very good, though. But anyway, Jason's getting a haircut in the barbershop.
Yeah.
And instead of sitting there quietly and talking about kids and work, Jason starts doing material. He put on a show at the barbershop.
Oh, gosh.
And you did good, though. You did good. You were killing until, you know, the
easy jokes. Like, stupid jokes.
You did good until they asked you to stop.
Yeah, they asked me to stop because I started going into dick jokes because she just set me up for an easy dick joke and I'd go for it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but
okay.
let me tell them why I did. I've never do bits.
Sure, go ahead. Tell them because I'm kind of curious. I don't know why.
Okay. She came out and called my name to go back there to get my hair cut. And she looked mean, like she was having a horrible day. And usually when they look like that, they are going to give you a horrible haircut. And I was like, I got $11. That's all I have for this haircut. I was like, I am not going to get a shitty one. And so I made her laugh a couple of times. And then I felt comfortable with getting my haircut.
Okay.
And then she just kept probing me for more stuff. And I was just doing awful, hacky-ass jokes just to get by. Like, I was like, my brain cut off.
I think it did. I think you blacked out. I don't know.
I blacked out. I was like, I would just said words. I just could not. I just did not. I don't like talking to the barbers.
No, you don't.
I don't.
You don't like anyone. I'm not going to say you don't like anyone in the service industry, but you don't like talking to them for some reason.
I don't. It's awkward. It's so awkward for me. I don't like these situations where I'm supposed to talk to you, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
I just don't want to talk to them.
So you feel obligated to talk to them, and that turns you off immediately. You're like, I immediately don't want to because I have to.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Plus, I break out in hives because I always say something stupid and just horrible. And, they were kids at the barbershop.
Oh,
I didn't
God.
Know.
Okay, The listeners, I want to tell anyone listening, what you guys don't know is Jason, another thing Jason didn't know, obviously, was when he was getting his hair cut, the acoustics in that barbershop, I mean, spot on, amazing. And I think everyone in the entire barbershop heard Jason's dick jokes awful penis jokes. And I'm dying laughing. I thought he was doing it just to make me laugh. And he wasn't.
I wasn't. Oh, I blacked out and was just doing stuff. Tell him what you said to the guy next to you when everybody heard my dick joke.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's making dick jokes. And the whole place here, there's children there. And I turned to the guy. I'm in the waiting room. And I turned to the guy next to me. And I'm like, I think he's working bits.
No.
Oh, God. And you were.
I've never done that in my life. I did a solid 15.
Oh, yeah. No, great. You had a great pause for laughter.
Yeah, my gosh. It was so...
Oh, God, that was rough.
She was washing my hair, and I was still rolling with it. I was blacked out. I feel like the worst person in the world right now.
You shouldn't.
I know, but I feel so bad. Like, I cheapened stand-up so I wouldn't get a shitty haircut.
Well, you don't have a lot to offer the lady. No, you know, it's not like you could have offered to mow her grass or fix a toaster or something.
Not at all. I have nothing.
Well, I mean, we were talking about this today because I've been giving Jason a hard time about it. But it's not, I've only been doing it because I don't agree with it, like, how bad you feel. It's not a big deal. I work bits all the time. Like, not in conversation a lot, but, like, I'll go to a bar, and I'll be meeting people, and I'll hit them with the premise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
I've never done that.
I do
like
that all
that.
The time. I don't know if that's wrong, if I shouldn't, but if I shouldn't, well, fuck off. I don't care. Don't listen to me.
Yeah. I just don't like that at all. For me doing it, because... What if they do come to a show and I'm telling them the same bits and stuff I was telling them in conversation?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Or maybe they will. Who knows?
Who knows? I don't know.
It's so funny.
I feel awkward doing that. I feel like most comedians probably do that. But don't know. Maybe we should ask some comedians.
Maybe we should if they do that. I never do it like on purpose, or yeah. I'm not like, hey, you got any kids? My friend has a kid. You know,
just act like your whole life is crowd work.
I do.
And
I
you're really like, do. Oh, that reminds me of this joke.
I do. I treat every opportunity like crowd work. That's how I got two free drinks out of it at the back bar last night.
Yeah.
I did. That's all I was gonna say. Man, you're a real nice guy, man. What are you having to drink? I was just talking to him about random shit, like his family. Yeah. And I was making him laugh about it.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head. I mean, I don't know. I we're saying I work bits, but I really don't. I never stop doing crowd work.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be at a bar and I'll just be talking to somebody trying to make them laugh. You know, not really doing material. But to me, that is kind of like...
Kind of, you know. Maybe. But I have known some comedians come up to me and do bits. And
try
to put it in conversation. I hate that so much.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like now, that I did that to an innocent bystander. I was like, I just did that to someone who just wanted to cut my hair.
Yeah, they just wanted to
get their
$2
tip or whatever.
They wanted you to ask them how they were doing.
Yeah, I was like, I don't care about you and how long you've been doing hair. No. I don't care. I really don't care. You cut hair for a living. Great. Do it now.
Oh, my God. Look how resentful you are.
Because I have the same conversation every time I go to the barbershop. Well, how long have you been cutting hair? How long have you been here? Do you like it here? I don't care.
Okay.
I really don't care.
And so
I have to ask those every time.
And so today you're just ashamed that you just went balls out.
Yeah, I was like, nope, not doing those questions.
Not doing that.
I got my set list here.
Oh, God. We went after the barber. I was driving Jason crazy the whole time after the show. After the haircut, I mean. And, we went to the store, and when he came out, I was like, so how'd it go? He's like, what? How was the crowd?
You can catch me doing bits at Supercuts and Great Clips on the Friday, Saturday of next week. Oh, it's just an awful, shameful feeling. I feel like I kissed an old lady drunkenly at a bar one night.
Oh, yeah, because that's never happened except once.
Yeah. That happened. I did not feel that bad about that when it happened.
Like, how do you feel? Like, you feel worse about work in the barbershop than you do kissing an elderly woman in a dive bar
downtown?
At least
I made her night.
You did. I bet you did.
At least I made her night. Okay, I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but you can go ahead and tell them what happened.
Oh,
night.
This is how good of a friend Jason is to me and the world. I had a bad set one night. And I felt really bad. I get really down on myself sometimes when I have a bad show. And Jason knew that. And we were at this dive bar, this awful bar in downtown Carrboro. I don't remember the name of it. Doesn't matter. And we're drinking. And there's this elderly lady there. I'm talking like not a day over like 60, maybe 58.
No. She has 6 written all over. She's like deep in the 60s.
I was trying to give you a bone here.
No, let's just be honest. Be an open book to these
people,
man.
She was deep in the 60s. I'm talking like her hair was peppered with color. Like it was all gray and it had like...
It looked like she had white hair, but she smoked a lot. So the nicotine got in her hair and turned it blondish.
And she had like this weird bathrobe on. It was tan.
No, she did.
I swear to God.
She might have.
Okay, so anyway, we're at the bar drinking, and before we leave, Jason's like, oh, Ryan, hold on. Bam. Face plants this woman. Didn't even tap her on the shoulder. Didn't do anything. He just made eye contact with her. Bam. She was into it, too, dude.
She was holding my head there when I tried to go away.
Yes, like, she was mad into it, dude.
She might have slipped me some tongue.
I'm sure.
But I don't remember.
And so then Jason's kissing her. And he looks over at me, he's like, all right, we can go now. You're welcome.
like, drop the mic, walk out type punchline.
And I didn't know how to respond because I was like, well, you're just the greatest human being on earth now.
You can't not be my friend now.
No, I can't. There's no me ever abandoning Jason after that. No, you've done more for me in my life after that.
I do bits in the barbershop. God, but seriously, the bits in the barbershop is the most shameful thing I've ever done.
Is it really?
It feels so shameful. I don't know why it feels so wrong, but it feels so bad.
Oh, man.
Just working bits out in a barbershop. Killing with stupid dick jokes.
Oh, God. I was on Bob and the Showgram.
She was asking me, like, how'd you get into stand-up? And I told her, and then she wanted to probe further. I was like, oh, gosh, can we just shut up and just... wash my hair.
I had to send Jason a text because he's being so loud and he's making the waiting room so uncomfortable. Like, people in the waiting room were looking around uncomfortably. And I had to send Jason a text. What did I say? Shut your mouth hole?
Yeah, you said something like shut your mouth hole or something. But to me, making the waiting room awkward made me happy.
Oh, God, it did.
Her laughing did not make me happy.
No.
I wanted, like, there to be awkwardness or something.
Oh, so funny. My God, that was funny to me. I really thought you were doing that to make me laugh, and you were, like, working bits, and then, like, thinking to yourself, like, Ryan's gonna think this is so funny, instead of you blacking out.
No, I blacked out. Sometimes I black out and just talk, and I wake up and I'm talking about Surge Soda. I just black in and out. Like, you've seen me black out and just be talking. Oh,
man. Actually, I've seen you black out more than I've seen you coherent.
And it's not like I'm drunk. I seriously just black out from the world.
No, exactly. You socially black out.
Yeah.
You're like the guy that's going to wake up digging a hole in a field somewhere with and you're like, oh, God, what's in the trunk of my car?
Yeah.
Like, you're that.
I feel like I've been drugged all day. Like, I told a joke to you one time, and I blacked out for the whole joke until you started laughing, and I was like, whoa, what happened?
Not a short joke either. No. It was a long, long joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. And that puts a lot of pressure on me. I have to remember, like, right when you start talking and being funny, my recorder kicks out. I'm like, all right, I gotta remember this, because when he's done with this, he's gonna want answers.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, it's so funny to me. Side note, you didn't do eating a fried chicken, you blackout joke. You should have done that.
Yeah.
That's a great joke. If you don't want it, can I have it?
I don't know. We'll see. I like the joke, but then again, I'm like,
That's a good joke. Anyway, so, yeah, we're talking about working bits in public. And, like, I don't work out material. I'm not going to be like, oh, here's this joke I wrote. I'm going to tell it to this stranger I meet. Or, like,
just
comedians.
Tell a story,
I usually will tell a story and see if they laugh, and then I'll mine it later. Or I'll do crowd work with strangers, you know. Like, that's what I do. I know what you're saying. Like, there is some comedians that, like, when you're talking to them in conversation, you feel like they're working out material.
Yeah.
And that makes me sick because they're blatantly doing it.
I hate being funny in front of comedians, really.
Oh, God, I do too.
I just want to be normal people. I was like, we're... just got off stage. Can we not work on bits? Can we just be friends?
Can we just talk?
Yeah.
How was your day?
Yeah.
Cut my hair.
Yeah, I cut my hair. I did 15 minutes at the barbershop. Just, like, get to know me.
I know, like I don't know. This is what I feel about it. Like, comedians' opinions matter to me. Don't get me wrong. Any comedians listening to this, they really do matter. But if a comedian doesn't find something funny, I say, I don't really care, because you're not an audience member. I don't need to work for comedians. I'm not working for comedians.
Yeah.
If I sell out a show with 1,200 people, they're not all comedians. You know what I mean? Like, those are not comedian people. I want to make them laugh, really, you know?
Yeah. But I've also been to shows where I've seen people kill, and the material is just so awful that I just hate myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I see what you're saying.
That's just awful feeling.
Yeah, that
like,
is bad.
If this is what I have to do...
No, there's lines.
Yeah.
There's lines. Like, you got to draw a line. You got to go, yeah, well, you know, fart jokes are working, but I can't do that. I'll try and make these people laugh the best I can, but that doesn't mean...
Maybe that's why I feel so bad about the bar show, because I did a dick joke.
You did? I know, you're adamant. I'm surprised you didn't do an eating pussy joke. You hate those.
Yeah, I actually, the only eating pussy joke is the one that you have, because it's intelligent. But I normally don't. I just don't like that gross type humor. Like, I don't like dick jokes. I don't like pussy jokes. I just don't like sex jokes in general. And you're the same way with, like, racist jokes.
Yeah,
stuff
I don't.
Like that.
I don't like racial jokes, and I don't like
a racial joke. To me, I will find funny if it's clever. It has to be ridiculously clever for it to be funny.
To me, like, there's been a lot of really clever racial jokes, and every single time, I'm just like, come on, you're better than this. You know, it's like, come on, those are...
That's kind of like I feel with pussy
like
jokes
pussy
and dick
jokes.
Yeah.
I see you. You know, like, you have some racial jokes, and I think they're good. And I have some pussy, but, like, you wouldn't do, like, dick and pussy jokes.
No.
You know? I wouldn't do racial jokes. Like, you have some great ones.
Yeah. Well, mine... I make fun of everyone.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I'm singling out a certain race or something. And it's not, I don't even do these that often. And most of them are things that happen to me that I condense to a one-liner or something.
Yeah,
yeah. So, like, my black lesbians one-liner or whatever, that's pretty much happened to me, but I just changed the race.
I got you, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. I don't like racial jokes. I'm not going to say they, like, turn me off. But, like, if it's not... Like, Bill Burr, my favorite comedian, has some racial jokes. But that shit is brilliant. Like, it has to be that level. You know what I mean? Like, same thing with rape jokes.
I don't even know if there is a smart rape joke. I've never really liked one.
But, you know, I'm a comedian, you're a comedian. I'm never going to say there's no such thing as a not funny. Exactly. You know, sure, there is maybe somewhere. I just haven't really heard it. I haven't heard it. Same here.
Same with abortion jokes, really.
Yeah.
There might be one that's funny and catches me off guard, but normally, no. I'm going to see it coming, and it's just, I don't like it.
It depends with me. I can't give you an example off the top of my head, but I remember laughing at an abortion joke one time, like, oh, man, that's good. But like I said, you know, when you're doing race, religion, abortion, rape, you have to be really careful, you know? Yeah. Like you have to be real careful.
They have to be on your side before you do that. I make sure... Yeah. They're on my side before I even do any racial stuff. And I do my racial stuff in all black rooms sometimes, and it goes over great.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just how they perceive you. Like, if they know you're not actually racist and you're doing satire...
Yeah, they have to trust you.
Yeah, they have to trust you a lot. Yeah. And, I mean, that's the only time I would do that.
It all goes back. A comedian was saying one time, he said... You know, are they laughing because it's funny or because it's shocking? And I thought to myself, I never want to just be shocking. Like that joke we were talking about today, like the WebMD joke.
Yeah, that has to be.
Like this is a joke that we both agree we couldn't perform it.
It's because I feel like it's been done or hacky.
I don't think
something.
It's been done or hacky. I just think it's so shockingly
easy. I don't
easy.
Like it.
This is the joke, people. It's I hate going to WebMD and checking my symptoms because every time I have AIDS.
Yeah, I don't
know. You
know,
like, I don't... Like, that's it's just... Still I'm saying AIDS. Like, when AIDS is the punchline, it's a fucking come on, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's stupid.
It's dumb.
Like, I don't even know how we came up. I think it was just in conversation or something, but it was so bad that I felt ashamed for that. I was like, is anybody in this room considering doing that on stage?
Did you work any of that material at the barbershop?
Oh, yeah, man. I told all my AIDS jokes there. I told a couple rape and abortion jokes. And then there was this kid getting his first haircut behind me.
Oh, God. Oh,
there really was. There was a kid getting his haircut behind me while I was doing dick jokes. And I didn't know this because I was watching Reba on the television.
Well, you can't compete with Reba.
No. Reba's my world.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, love some Reba. But, you just got to be careful with the material you work, you know. I don't think I'll ever do, like, racial jokes. I'm not into that, do you? Yeah. And you're just not into the pussy and kind of dick
No,
jokes.
I wrote a dick joke or a masturbation joke today, and I gave it to you because I can't do it.
Oh, that's a good one, too. I'm not going to say it right now, but, like, that's, wow.
Yeah, I just wrote that one for you because I was like, I can never do dick jokes. Like, people don't believe it from me just because of the way I look, I guess.
Yeah.
If I'm talking about having sex and, like, all this stuff, they're like, ooh, no, why? You're so pure looking.
So adorable.
I look like a Mormon or something. Oh, I don't know what it is. Yeah. I don't know if I look like a Mormon or I just look like uber Christian or something. I don't know.
It's definitely one of the two.
Somebody told me when I first started my job at the call center, which I have recently been fired/quit of 2 years, told me that I look like I sold Bibles.
Like, Bible sales. I'll be honest with you, put you in a white collared shirt, black tie, I'm an atheist, and I would buy a Bible from you.
Oh, no. I got that appeal.
You definitely have
the Bible. I was like,
this Bible
is leather bound.
Oh, my God, tell me more.
Gold leaf imprints on it.
No, it's not gold leaf.
Yes, it does.
It's not gold leaf.
$119.
Really?
Yes.
Hundreds. That's all?
Not even hundreds. Just hundred.
Hunted.
Just hundred.
Singular.
We will make it into a single hundred, and I will sell you that Bible.
Sir, I'll give you a blank check.
Oh,
you
let's
write
talk.
In any number you want for as many Bibles as I can get, please.
Today that guy tried to sell me magazines at the door.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
What?
I'm kind of disappointed in you. I wish you would have fucked with that guy. I wish you would have fucked with that guy.
I can't do that. The thing is, I'm so awkward around people. Like, I break out into hives. Like, I have to end conversations. Like, no, this isn't happening. He's trying to sell me magazines, and I open the door, and he's telling me all this crap about how he'll get a guaranteed $1,000 if he does all these magazines.
He had points. He's like, I need 20,000 points. I have 300 left. And if you buy these 6 magazine subscriptions, I get the money. Blah, blah, blah. And like, Jason, you were like, really? Freaking out. Like, you were really like,
oh, I didn't know how. I was like, I'm not buying anything from you, sir. I'm sorry. I was like, I don't have money. You came on a Wednesday afternoon. It is Wednesday at 12:30. I'm in my pajamas, and you expect me to shovel out money for magazines? I don't have magazine money.
That's another point. I was wanting to ask you about, like, he was like, okay, we need responsible adults to buy magazine subscriptions. How about Wednesday afternoon?
In a co-op.
In a co-op. Oh, God.
My door was completely open because it's broke. Oh, God. I'm like, why do you think I have magazine money?
I don't know. I don't know what that
I was like. I told him, I was like, I read blogs.
And then he's trying to get the DL on your apartment. He's like, do they go all the way back?
I was like, was he scoping out like he's going to steal stuff? I was like, we have nothing. Our nicest thing is our olive oil in the kitchen for our pizzas.
Oh, he better not touch that goddamn olive oil.
No.
I swear to God, I'll fuck that guy.
For our listeners, olive oil on pizza. We're not trying to do another Foodies episode, but olive oil on some cheap, thin crust pizza is the shit.
Oh my God, it's my favorite thing.
That's all we eat. That's all we eat when you visit.
Oh yeah. But it's all we have to eat.
That's all we have to.
It's the best damn thing on earth.
Eggs, pizza, mozzarella. Boom.
You can put it on loafers.
Yeah,
you know those loafers you're missing?
Yeah.
I know you're not.
You
missing
ate them.
Yeah, I ate them. Okay. I put olive oil on them and I ate them.
Oh,
sorry. Oh. Don't have delicious loafers. Don't have delicious loafers today.
Okay. The shame guilt just hit another wave.
Oh, God, did it because you have so much shame guilt today after your barbershop show.
Oh, gosh, I did a solid 15, man.
You did a hard 15. Hard 15.
It's a rough room, man. Not gonna lie, it's a rough room.
You
I had one girl laughing. But she was washing my hair.
She was washing her hair.
Had a hot towel on my face.
Yeah,
and
did.
I was just like, ugh, why do I have to go back on stand-up just to feel okay in the world?
Like, that's funny. You were like, okay, I need a good haircut. What's my only world skill trade I have? Comedy.
Yeah.
And then you worked it. You're a prostitute for comedy.
Yeah, if I could have gave her a coupon for, like, I don't know, cleaning her gutters, I would have.
Other than doing that.
I would have gave her $20 for my haircut if I did not have to do that.
Yeah. That would have been an appropriate amount of money, I feel.
Well, see, I used to get my haircut at this place, and it was like $32 to get my haircut.
Yeah.
And they always gave me a sort of mullet. Like, I didn't know it was a mullet.
A sort of mullet.
Yeah, like, it would be longer in back, but I wouldn't notice it till 2 weeks later when this in the back part was just so much longer.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. It's just, I hated those people that those...
So, do you have a lot of haircut anxiety? Is that a thing? Like, you get anxious?
I guess so, because, like, when I was little, my mom used to cut my hair, and she cut it horribly all the time.
And
so,
she kind of thought it was funny, too, didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, I like, had a bowl so cut that was, like, wobbly.
Oh, God.
Like, it was just the worst bowl cut ever, and then she shaved my head one time, and I cried in the bathtub. It's just, I guess I just have a lot of hair anxiety issues.
You do. You have a lot of hair. You have anxiety issues, period, though. Like,
I don't know why. I'm kind of normal. I get
that's a stretch. That's a stretch.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
I stress out. Grocery stores are the biggest thing. And then there's getting my haircut stresses me out.
Okay.
Any social situation where I'm expected to act a certain way, I stress out.
Yeah, because you feel like you can't be yourself? Is that
I
it?
Guess
you're
so.
Like, you're like, I have to change, but I don't know how to change, so now I'm panicking. Hey!
Yep, and then that's when the hives break out.
That's when the hives
break out. Have you seen me break out in hives?
I've seen you get blotchy.
Yeah, blotchy. That's
yeah.
That's
I've seen
my
you get
hives.
Blotchy, and I've been like, oh my God, he's just ordering food through a drive-thru. You know? Like,
yeah, no, it happens. Just... Anytime something awkward happens, like if I'm ordering through the drive-thru and they don't hear me or they get my order wrong, boom.
Boom, blotch.
Blotches.
See, that's what I, like, me and you are so opposite. I thrive on that. I love weird awkwardness.
I hate it.
I
couldn't watch The Office for the longest time.
Oh, I'll be honest. Like, a lot
I
of people...
I would break out in the hives when I'd watch The
I don't,
Office
I don't
when
like
it first came out.
Yeah, I don't like... A lot of people are like, I can't believe you don't watch The Office, Ryan. Like, people are making Office references around me, because if, for the viewers, Facebook me Ryan Higgins, I look like I watch The Office and I'm an avid Office fan, and I'm not at all.
I love The Office, but when I've... It took me 2 seasons to get used to, like, the awkwardness to where I didn't break out.
No, I just, I don't like The Office. I love Parks and Rec. That's another awkward kind of show.
Yeah.
And I love Community. That's not so awkward, but it kind of is. But yeah, I can't get into The Office. I don't know why. I just don't like it.
It's too late in the game now, man.
Oh, shit's done changed.
Yeah, the game's changed, and you're just trying to get in it.
I can't. You know what I'm saying? We're in the pros now, and I'm just learning to dribble. I'm not dribbling. Fuck you. Fuck you. I'll play volleyball.
Gosh, today.
Today was a day for you, man. Today was a day for you.
Shameful Evan Williams drinking day.
Oh, immediately when Jason got in the car and I told him what had happened, he was just like, "Where's the liquor store?"
I was like, "I got $16 and some Evan Williams is going in my stomach.
Oh, I'm going to put that in me."
Oh my gosh. And it's green for some unknown reason to me.
Yeah, if anyone listening knows why the labels on Evan Williams are green, please, for God's sake, tell us.
It's Jesus. A new batch. We were just there yesterday.
Yeah, Jesus.
New batch of Evan
Jesus
Williams.
Christ, just tell us why. Is it like the, like it also second hands is like Pine Sol? Because look at it right now.
It looks like Pine Sol. Yeah.
It looks like Pine Sol.
All right, listeners. This is our Shamecast.
Ooh, that's what we should title it. Shamecast.
Shamecast. I like Shamecast. Maybe it won't be Waffles and Laughs anymore.
Maybe next week you're going to tune into Shamecast. Ooh, I'm telling you, I could do an hour every week on shameful things.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
Yes, you could. Because you are a shameful person.
Ooh, next week we'll podcast about how I shamefully asked out every single woman in a club, and they all rejected me.
And they all came to me to talk about it.
Yes, they did. They opened up. All right, well, if you want to know more, stay tuned for next week. This is Waffles and Laughs with myself, Ryan Higgins, and...
Jason Webb.
Thank you for listening.
Bye, peoples.